Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's Word comes to us today from the Gospel lesson taken from the fourth chapter of Matthew, and the first temptation sort of stands as a summary of them all. Verse 3, "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" A young man who worked for a travel agent was sent to a Pacific island, and even though it meant being separated from his girlfriend, he accepted the job because it meant that he would earn enough money to marry her. As the weeks went by, she began to have doubts that he was being true to her. After all, the holiday resort where he was working attracted beautiful women from around the world, and the young man declared he was paying absolutely no attention to them. But then he did write in one of his letters, "I admit I am sometimes tempted, but I fight it. I'm waiting for the day when I can be with you again." Not long after he sent that letter, he received a package. Inside, there was a note and a harmonica. The note said, "I'm sending this to you so you can have something to take your mind off all those girls." Dutifully, the young man wrote back to his girlfriend and told her that he was practicing the harmonica every night and thinking only of her. Eventually, the young man's work finished and he flew home. His girlfriend was waiting at the airport. As he rushed to embrace her, she held up her hand and said, "First, I want to hear you play that harmonica." Temptation. It always comes as a bit of a surprise that even Jesus wasn't exempt from temptation. He was perfect, yet he experienced all the attacks of the devil, some very crass temptations and others far more subtle. What this tells us is that temptation will come to anyone, regardless of how close they believe they are to God. In other words, we are powerless to stop temptation from coming. It's what we do when temptation comes that really matters. But let's be clear, Satan is very sneaky. The temptations that Jesus experienced in the wilderness were very logical. For example, he had been fasting for 40 days. This was something he entered into voluntarily to feel and experience a closeness to his Father. But fasting makes you hungry. Turning stones to bread was the most natural thing to do. Who would be hurt by this? After all, it would be ridiculous for God's Son to starve when he could have food with just a simple command. He had the power to do it, so why not? And then Jesus is taken to the roof of the temple, and Satan tempts Jesus to throw himself down. Things would be a lot easier if he dramatically landed on the courtyard below, accompanied by angels. What kind of spectacular display would that be? The crowd would flock to him. What better way to promote the kingdom of God? He might even be able to avoid the whole Good Friday ordeal. Then Jesus is shown all the kingdoms and countries of the world. He could have them all if he would just bow down and worship Satan. But look at all the good he could do. There are so many who are sick and dying. They're brought to him every day. With all the wealth of the kingdom set before him, think of how many people he could touch then. This is a chance to really do some good. Do you see? There is logic behind each of these temptations. They offer an easy way out for Jesus to calm his grumbling stomach, to win instant acclaim, to do so much good and gain the whole world for his kingdom without any suffering and dying. Temptation is often not simply choosing between good and evil, but between choosing what is easy and what's hard. And guess who has the easy answers? That's one of the reasons we often find ourselves discouraged. We're tempted and we fall for it. And it's after we're experiencing the consequences of our choice we realize we've been duped. We've been lied to. We've been sold a bill of goods. But the real danger is if you ever get to the point where you love your sin, you want your sin, you need your sin more than you love, want, or need God, the consequences are severe. Simply put, you're walking a path towards hell, and it may feel like you're there already. So what can we possibly do? First and foremost, you need to know you have a substitute. His name is Jesus. Jesus handles these very real temptations perfectly. He does not succumb to them. He chooses the good and hard road time after time. And by these consistent choices, he created a perfect performance record. And rather than keep that to himself, he sets up a trade. Are you ready for this? He takes your performance record and mine with him to his cross and dies. And he gives you his perfect performance record, and you live. And now, whenever God looks at you, he sees the perfection of his Son. It counts for you. Isn't that amazing? I hope you think so. That's what the gospel is. And it's this gospel, a suffering, dying Savior, that enables us to love God more than our sin. It's the gospel that transforms duty into choice. In other words, it transforms this idea that I've got to obey God to I want to obey Him. How could I not? After all that He's done for me. Now, too often we flounder when faced with temptation because, to be blunt, we don't know our Bibles well enough. When we're at a crossroad and we have to make a choice, we're confused and so easily led astray because we just don't know what God has said. The bottom line here is biblical illiteracy is deadly. It's like going into battle without armor or weapons. But when you are biblically literate, when you are learning the Word and what God has said, when you love God more than your sin, you can learn to recognize temptation and say no to it. And when you know what God says in His Word, you learn that when you do make bad choices, your Heavenly Father reaches out to you and points you to His Son's cross and assures you that His love for you is as strong as ever. Don't you love a God like that more than your sin? Please pray with me. Father, your Son showed us how to respond to temptation. It begins and continues and ends with having your Word in our minds and in our hearts and on our lips. There's no substitute. But we often falter, Lord. We don't know Scripture like Jesus knew it. And that's why He became our substitute, keeping the law in our place, facing temptation for us, then giving us His performance record to count for us, to be our righteousness, to establish our standing before You. We have it because of Him. That was purchased with blood and sweat and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was sealed and guaranteed with His resurrection. And looking at Jesus, we're moved to love Him more than our sin. Keep us right there today, Heavenly Father. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray it. Amen.